Not a whole lot of napping going on at that one.
Just wanted to throw that out there. You be careful out there. Okay, in Fort Siege was, State of Us.
RN comment.
Go ahead.
Search on Google as to whether Ukraine is an independent country. And I got one on a site called justiceforpoland.com. This is dated the 1st of March this year. Russia can enter at any time. Ukraine is not a separate country. It was not registered as such as part of Russia, meaning Russia can enter any time. Secretary General of the U.S. has stated Ukraine has not applied for border registration since 1991, so the state of Ukraine does not exist. Goes on about the treaties and stuff and things. The conclusion is, according to Budapest Memorandum and other agreements, Ukraine has no borders. The state of Ukraine does not exist and has never existed.
I'm thinking there's a whole lot of fighting going on to be no borders. I mean, I know what paper says, but my dad's wife is a doctor, and she has got two patients, former patients, that's moved back to the Ukraine. And she has talked with one of them on the phone and the other one through email. And I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think. I mean, it's just, you know, she was tore up. But I don't know what to think about it all. I don't.
A retired general the other day who had worked with the Russians going into Kosovo a few years ago. He says the Russians are pretty well trained, but individually there's almost no discipline. The Russian soldier would leave their vehicles running and go into town to try to extort money from the civilians.
Problem. If that's the case, No discipline. That's gonna be a problem. They won't be able to. There'll be sections of them that won't be able to stay together. That discipline thing is without that. It's just not gonna work. I'm not sure some of them are disciplined enough, but that's a biggie.
They got the numbers though.
Got that, but you gotta have something to hold them together, and I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll see how it all plays out.
Trying to see how it all plays out. Where it's going now, you never know.
Getting back to this wedding for a minute. The bride had a lot of her college friends come, and one girl came, and she was on a set of crutches. She had one leg out there on that dance floor. And boy, I'm gonna tell you, that girl was having a ball. She was slinging them crutches around. That one leg, she's slinging that thing around like, I mean, they played Footloose by I don't know who wrote that song, but. Boy, she's flipping that foot around like, my goodness, I couldn't believe. I mean, she was having a ball, too. And she's out there line dancing with them crutches. And that was something to see. They smeared cake all over one another. I mean, they were, you know, nice about it, but, you know, Lewis just couldn't help it. I knew he'd struggle with it, but he just smeared it all over, got icing all over the place. Of course, everybody was, you know, laughing about it. Food was okay. Music was way too loud, but all in all, it was a good thing, and the groomsmen, one of the groomsmen. Oh, listen to this. Let me let this thing drop before my radio time's out. Listen, if you're still in there, I want you to listen to this. That when the guy, Lewis, got up there with the pastor, and the groomsmen came in one at a time and would lined up behind Lewis. Well, every one of them that came and stood in front of him, and they were handing him something, putting something in his hands. And you couldn't see it, but you could see, I could tell there was an exchange going on. And he was putting them in his pocket. So they'd shake his hand, and he'd stick his hand in his pocket. And the more groomsmen, as the groomsmen came more and more, the quantity got bigger. So I kept looking on the ground. He kept dropping stuff, and it looked like breadcrumbs, I thought. And after the ceremony was over, I went up and talked with the groomsmen that was over all the groomsmen. What were y'all giving to Lewis that he had to keep putting in his pocket? And he said, we stopped by Chick-fil-A and bought a 20-piece chicken nugget set. And we was giving him chicken nuggets. So the first groomsman came, he gave him one chicken nugget. And then when the second groomsman came, he gave him four chicken nuggets. That boy had a pocket full of chicken nuggets. He was sticking chicken nuggets in his jacket, back pocket, front pocket. Have you ever heard of that? Chicken nuggets.
Anything like that, it sounds like quite a wedding.
Got me on that one, too.
Never heard of that. K4HKX.
I said, y'all, you know, Lewis stepped out for a few minutes, and I said, I was talking with the groomsmen, and we all had a prayer with him, and then he stepped out, and I said, y'all planning on doing anything to the vehicle? And they just looked at me like, well, no, we didn't, you know. And I said, I'm ashamed of y'all. I said, you always, you know, you got to do something to the vehicle, shaving cream or something, you know. I mean, that's, am I that dated? They, I mean, they didn't have anything planned for, you know, the vehicle. And I just didn't know what to think about that. And the pastor, he's my age. And he said, he told me, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed, too. Y'all, you know, you're supposed to do something to the vehicle.
Seeing the different customs in different parts of the country. I lived up in Michigan quite a while, up in northern Michigan, or even in Michigan. One of the customs is what's called the dollar dance. And all the men have to dance with the bride and give her a dollar for the dance.
So you give the bride a dollar?
For the dance, she has to dance with everybody, and they all give her a dollar.
Stinking behind the chicken nuggets.
And I guess, because I don't, you know, I didn't get it. And I asked Sam, he was the best man. I said, what's, you know, well, my chicken nugget? And he said, well, that's the best we come up with. I just thought, oh, man, that's bad, you know. A pocket full of chicken nuggets. Come on. You got to do better than that.
Roast a pig for the wedding party, did you? Maybe they was giving Lewis some chicken nuggets because all them college kids didn't know what to think about a roasted pig.
I did smoke some Boston butts and 40 pieces of chicken and coleslaw and things like that, but I'm tired, Bo. It's been going on for a week, and just, I'm ready to, I mean, I'm glad he's married and all, but boy, I'm just tired.
Have you made it to the city of Anderson yet?
GPS says I'm 9.6 miles from northbound Spartanburg, 85.
About got a leg then. I was going to say, if you made it to Anderson City, you're about 40 minutes from the deer camp, you need to take you a break. But you probably just about as close home, ain't you?
With me a minute more. If I get on 85 and get my RPMs up, I'm just not worried about it. But this 45 and 50 miles an hour to clip is just, it's brutal.
RPMs and them tires, I guess it is. And everything comfortable in your cab. That'd be a rough trip.
It's amazing how that drone and them tires roaring can put you to sleep. That'd sing you right out like a lullaby.
That's bad.
It can be. Trust me, at 5 in the morning, that thing will lull you right on in there if you ain't careful.
One reason why they always told you when you stop at a truck stop, take a break, don't sleep in your driver's seat. Don't want to get used to sleeping in that park.
Well, how you could, you sit straight up, but you can't recline at all. The cabs are short and small.
Every couple of hours, and just run around the vehicle 3 or 4 times, and then go on. You. Efficiency starts up, say, at 10. After 2 hours, it's down around 4. You get out for 5 minutes, it'll be back up to 9 or 10.
The other truck, let me make sure I got it. My other truck to my son when he graduated high school. And just went and bought me a new one. And I ordered the thing from the factory, got it built the way I wanted it built. I didn't have this problem with the other truck. It's still a 6.7, but it, I don't know, just sounds completely different. And this one here, just, that's been a problem from day one. And I have to be careful at night with it, because, or early in the morning, because it just lulls you to death.
4-H cat. That lull in there, or the different tone you're hearing, is where the EGR valve's opening. When it does that, it quiets the engine down to do that, to keep the noise down. That's all planned. So, that's where the difference comes in.
Look, Patrick, I'd get up to, I don't know, about somewhere around 73, 74, and I could hear my turbo a little bit. It would... not really a sound, it's a frequency. I don't know how to explain it. You knew it was there, it wasn't annoying, it wasn't aggravating, but I could hear it. This thing here, I can't hear nothing. It's just the vibration of the truck, and it is a comfortable truck, but I don't know. Anyway, well, listen, y'all don't feel like you need to stay with me. I just hit 85. I can get the RPMs up. So if y'all need to bug on out, just feel free. You don't have to hang with me now. I got my speed up. I'm good.
Speed RON. I'm usually up until about midnight, so I can be here until you get home. Over.
What if that is? Well, Ed, I hadn't had a chance to talk with you that much. What did you think of the SimplexNet?
A lot of work, and I think the positive work. I like the idea of having 4 minor nets, if you will, tied together by key NCS stations. So I think you got a real good plan.
Gotten quite a bit of feedback. Quite a few ideas and a couple of suggestions. Interestingly enough, some of the suggestions were, let's see what happens on 440. Let's try it again in June or July when the leaves get on the trees. and a couple of guys actually made a suggestion. Handy talkies only. I don't know how that's gonna work, but I don't know too much about the 440 either. I'm just not impressed with 440 at all. I just don't like it for some reason. But I don't know what you think.
I have a handy talkie now, and I do not have 440 capability. And I think most of the handy talkies are going to be limited to 5, maybe at the most 10 watts. So I think that's going to be an issue.
I agree. But now that the wedding's over, I'm going to be sending a little questionnaire out, I guess. Trying to figure out which direction the membership wants to go, whether they want to actually try to send a message or get into traffic. I don't know. Or just say, hey, this is a doable plan. But I, you know good and well that, you know, something on a piece of paper is one thing. But, you know, actually doing it, now that's a complete other.
So my questions on traffic, I think sending traffic should not be a big problem. The issue I have is what kind of traffic, who does it go to, like fire departments or police departments or whatever. What's the final destination of the traffic?
Chris, I got you. You and Ed doubled, but I got you, Chris. I'll be right back to you. I'm not sure, Ed. I'm not sure. If you're not, you know, a member of an EOC or the MARS program, I'm not sure there really is a destination other than I do know the club members. Just wanted to be in touch with each other, you know, as a club community, that kind of thing. And we experienced that during the big snowstorm we had. We did a pretty good job of, you know, staying in touch with one another and seeing, you know, if any of the club members needed help or that kind of thing. I'm not sure there's a real destination to it other than just keeping tabs on one another and just, you know, showing a little fellowship. I think that's the intent.
Thing for elderly people is a phone call once a day to make sure they're all right. If there's no phone call, then people begin to get concerned and want to go visit.
Well, like I said, we're basically just trying to keep tabs on one another, and we do have some members that are in some assisted living, and we do keep tabs on them, and if it's nothing but just, you know, just, I don't know how to word this, just being able to socialize with somebody, you know, that's, I don't know, that's pretty important. I think some people kind of miss that a little bit. Just being able to stay in touch, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And, you know, if you're not able to do that, that's pretty isolating, you know. So I think that was the original intent.
Several people that you'll call at least once a day or every other day, and it's the socialization that you're talking about. She wants to know how they're doing or what the latest rumors are. We're going to be somewhat isolated for the next week to 2 weeks. Last night, Pam started having symptoms of COVID. We went into an urgent care this morning and she tested positive. So far, I don't have symptoms, but we're going to have to ride this out.
Told me that, Ed. All right, well, I'll be in touch with you, and if there's anything I can do to help, please let me know. How's she doing?
Reasonably well. She's sore, can smell, a slight fever, so she's doing okay, just tired. So it's either the initial stuff or it's that new variety. We're not sure. She really hadn't been anywhere for about 2 days. Went to a doctor yesterday. She thinks she got it there.
Very possible. Okay. Well, Ed, if there's anything we can do, you know, or if you need anything, please don't hesitate to call me or ask. And I'll do whatever I can do to help you.
She's really upset. We were going to have a meet and talk with a couple of politicians tomorrow. She's got a whole bunch of brownies and other stuff cooked, and now we won't be able to have the reception.
So I hate that, but that's the safest thing to do, and just conserve your strength and just hunker down. When all of this has started, we had a daughter, one child that was still in high school. So every time she got exposed to school, they would send a letter home saying, hey, your daughter's possibly been exposed to COVID. And we ended up, as long as she was in school, we ended up quarantining. If I remember right, it was 13 times. And, you know, you do that 2 weeks at a time. Oh, man, that gets rough. I mean, just rough, you know. So, I get it. Me and my family have been through it. You know, we lost 3 family members before the vaccine got here. 2 of them were matriarchs of the family. And it was just brutal. And I'm ready for this to be over.
People in the church who've had it and not survived, and we've known other people, same thing. We're doing pretty good as far as we know. I had a positive thing yesterday. I finally got my entry box for my antenna cables installed. The furnace people came with a nice big drill and could drill a hole through 5 inches of stone.
Tell me about that. So what kind of box you going to put up?
Still ordered it. There's a station out in Utah who built them, and I kind of like the way it was set up. It's a steel box and got space inside for connectors so I can have the cables coming underneath from the bottom go to a connector to a shorter cable coming inside so I can connect or disconnect it easily. And then I've got a ground bar that I've installed across the top of my workbench or my desk. So I've got all my equipment grounded to that. And then also a power bar going across.
Okay. Well, Ed, let me back up and get Chris in there. Chris, you had a question, bud. What's going on?
Like when you were talking about that Simplex net, I noticed in that one zone you had several different choices for a net controller, but in the other 3 zones, if this is an extended period of time that we're running it, do you have any plans of switching out net controllers?
The way the suggestions on how that's going to work is that, first of all, let me say, you'd be surprised how quickly this gets complicated. And why in the world they call this a simplex net, I don't know, because there's nothing simple about it. unless I'm overthinking things, which I do. But so let's take section four, for example. And you're right. So there's one station there. The net controllers were tentatively chosen. Now nobody has been selected because you can't really select them. You know, it's your volunteers. That's something that they would have to volunteer. But let me let my radio drop. Repeater.
Yes, good.
So let's take station four, for example. The net controller, the idea was to select the net controller that was able to make the most simplex frequencies in that area. And in order for information to be moved, you know, to check on one another or whatnot, two things have to happen. One is that you have to be on frequency, and there has to be a time to be on frequency. If those two are not there, then nobody, you're just not going to be able to do pass anything, right? So, a couple of ideas that were thrown around was that if you take the clock, 12-hour clock, and every 2 hours, if you have an issue or need help with something, you contact that net controller who comes on frequency every 2 hours. That information. And holds it, and that's called holding traffic. The net holds one piece of traffic, or the net holds two pieces of traffic. Another idea was thrown around was that the net controller in that area, he dictates, you know, when stations can call in, and or he just, that person stays on frequency and collects whatever traffic, you know, hey, I got, you know, 3 pine trees are across my driveway. Can, you know, anybody got a chainsaw or something like that? And he holds it until all 4 net controllers get on frequency. And then at that point, it gets moved from net controller to net controller. So what I'm trying to say is, controller would say, hey, I need this, you know, Chris needs a chainsaw in Pickens, or needs a generator because the ice storm have knocked the power lines down. And he wants to ask Patrick that. Well, he's not going to be able to talk to Patrick direct, so that net controller in his area holds that request and holds that piece of traffic. And that's about as far as we've got with it. There's a lot of things that need to be ironed out, and the things that need to be ironed out are bigger problems than determining who can hear who and who can talk to who. I thought that was a big problem, but it turns out we got that mastered. So I don't know. It's going to take some smarter people than me at this point to figure out how all that's going to be done. And I just kind of get lost in the matrix, you know, with the complexity of it. But I'd be interested in hearing what anybody's got to say about it.
K-I-4, hell's the guy. You're right. Nothing about it is simple. And the only reason I call it simplex is because, not because it's simple, because you say it ain't, but it's because we're transmitting and receiving on the same frequency. That's the reason it's called simple. It's not because it's simple, because as you say, it ain't.
All right, Andy, I'm glad to hear you tonight. sorry I couldn't make it to the meeting the other night, but I heard you on Zoom. And I don't know, you got any ideas? I mean, how do you, if Andy wants to send, say, me a message, how do you do that? Saying that Andy wants to send Chad a message sounds easy, but it's really not, because there's a lot of things that have to be worked out.
Yeah. Don't think I'm an expert on the traffic. I'm not an expert by any means on the traffic, but on HF, to a certain degree, it might be a little bit easier. Because, like on the sideband net, you know, everybody's transmitting and receiving on the same frequency. And kind of like what you're saying about relays, like it's on that 10-meter net, they have an Oconee County. People relay others in to the net control, and the traffic gets... But like I said, I'm no expert. Go ahead, Chris, KI4LCI.
Might not be an expert, Andy, but you know more than those of us new at this hobby, you know. You've been around a lot longer than us. We open to any idea you can give
it. So I got it here. Here's my point to all of this. If I want to send Ed a message, I can't really talk to Ed direct. So I would have to contact a forward station to collect that traffic. And once I pass it to that forward station, there's nothing else I can do with it. So the first problem is the forward station has to be able to think. Which is not a problem. It's just, okay, they've got to handle your information and make the best decision with it. To where do I send it? So how do I send it? Then, for example, Ed's station was, most of his contacts were weak readable. They were readable, but they were weak, which means that relay is going to have to work to get that message out or get the message relayed. It may have to say that four or five times. They're going to have to develop some skills. And here's what I mean by that. Now just imagine that Andy is a weak readable station and he's getting the third or fourth word of everything I'm saying. If I send a message through two relays to say, hey, Andy, how are you? That's one thing. Andy's going to pick up on that pretty quick. And he'll send, you know, a three message, you know, hey, I'm fine, how are you, back. But what happens when the message gets complex, for example? I saw a blue cat with four ears and five collars, and it had a tail that had seven stripes on it. Okay, well, now that's a little bit different situation. And, you know, we get those numbers mixed up, and that can be a problem. So that's where, you know, if the community decides to make a decision to, now we're getting into, you know, okay, well, how's the proper way to handle traffic? And the thing about it is, old timers before us, they got this all figured out already. They've been doing it since the 30s. But just getting everybody on board to learn how to do that, that's the complicated part of it, with other complications. So I don't know what to do, really.
KO4QOG. I was in the beginning of the emergency. That seven-stripe tail blue cat might be easy to move traffic. But 18 hours in emergency, it might be a different story. Those first few hours, everybody's going to be hyped up and full of energy, and 18 hours later, there ain't going to be no net controllers out there awake. See where I'm going with that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that, let me make sure I got this. Why some kind of timeline has to be worked out, because it's raining balls of hail that are 3 inches in diameter and it's poked holes in my roof, that's going to be hard for me to stay on a radio because, I got to take care of my family. I mean, that, you understand. So, I don't know. That's a lot to ask of anybody to be a hobby, you know. That's kind of what I was saying is, every 2 hours just monitor, or every 6 hours monitor, or I don't know. I don't know the answer. We'll figure it out, or we'll try. We'll do the best we can with it.
KO4 HKX. My suggestion is to limit the on time. Don't try to do it every 2 hours unless it's a huge, depending on the type of emergency. Like the snowstorm, when it's happening, yeah, it can be every 2 hours. After it's already quit snowing and you're just needing to check on people, maybe like every 6 hours or 8 hours or something like that. Spread them out a little bit. That way you can reserve and save your people from being wore out and burned out on it.
So let me make sure I got this. Here's what I am seeing, that you're both exactly right, because on a typical night when I do a net, for a net controller, it is very taxing, and it does wear you out. And one thing that I've learned is that when my mind gets tired, number one, you say things you probably shouldn't say. Not that bad things are said, it's just, I wish I hadn't said that kind of thing. And then it just becomes extremely hard to focus. So for me, for example, if I'm collecting call signs and they're coming pretty fast, just with a call sign, anything after 9:45, I struggle with it because, you're Patrick's right. You're tired, and it just gets more and more and more complex. The harder you try, it in my mind, I just get lost with it. And I don't know. I think that maybe the membership needs to make a decision on what to do next. But I will say this, that I haven't heard a negative thing about it. And everything that I'm hearing so far is, let's at least try.
KI4LCI. Well, it's kind of like that when you are off out somewhere out of repeater range or cell phone range. You look in the Ares resource book. I mentioned this here, I think, a long time ago. I don't have it right here in front of me, so I can't read every detail about it. But on that, when you're out like that somewhere out of range, you're supposed to monitor so many hours and listen so many minutes and put out a call out, then and save your batteries. Don't do it anymore till that. Seems like me, it was every 2 hours, something like that. And then for 5 minutes after top of the hour, you take and listen and put out a call out. You kind of limit it like that somewhat, like the way that's set up for that. And when it comes to that's on HF with the, that about the hurricane watch net, Dirk, from what I've been able to hear and listen to, their net controllers are only on there for 4 hours at a time. Then someone else switches off and comes on for 4 hours at a time. Then 4 hours at a time. That's the Hurricane Watch net on 14-3-25 and 72-68 when they're activated. J-I-4-L-Z-I.
All right, so if, let me make sure I got it. Hey, Patrick. Instead of everybody staying on frequency for 2 hours, how about we word it this way? If there is a need, and Patrick needs some help getting some trees out of his driveway, Patrick knows that if I need that help, everybody's going to be on frequency at this time, and I've got 10 to 15 minutes to ask for somebody to come help me get my trees out of the drive. If, you know, after that 15 minutes nothing's heard, then an assumption is made that, well, nobody needs, you know, help with chainsaws or trees or whatever. So, let me go about my business and let me go get my trees out of the driveway, and I'll come back in 2 hours and monitor for 10 or 15 minutes. Maybe that's the way it needs to work. That makes a lot more sense.
I was thinking, and then, like, your net controllers can be in contact with each other passing that traffic in the 2 hours that everybody's not there, and they can act like a message board in that 15 to 20 minutes, whatever it is, that people are checking in to find out what's going on. They can say, when they check in, okay, I have a message for you at this time. Are you ready?
Okay, all right, hang on. Let me make sure I got this. It is 8 o'clock in the evening, or it's 10 minutes till 8. And boom, 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 three pine trees fall across your driveway. And you realize I can't, you know, I'm going to need some help. So Patrick knows that if I want to ask somebody to help me, I need to be on this frequency. And I've got, say, 15 minutes to report that to the forward station, whoever that is. So that's 8:15. From 8:15 to 8:30, then the relay stations, or the net controllers, if that's what you want to call them, they move that from 8:15 to 8:30. And then it's done until the next time hack. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Y'all go ahead and carry on. If y'all are still in here later, I'll be back. I got to get out for the moment, though. KI4LZI.
Pretty close to what I was thinking. Yeah, that's real close. But, like, your net controller for your area and Ed's net controller for up here, you two are communicating, but I want to get a message to Anna. I don't know. Somebody over there. And all I want to do is I want to give my message to Ed. And then in the off time, in that 2 hours, whatever it is, he can pass that message to you. And then when your group checks back in and that person checks, that call sign checks in, you can say, okay, here, I have a message for you from blah, blah. This is, are you ready to receive? Here it is. And at that time, basically use your net controllers or traffic handlers as a message board. That way they're their message relay station. And don't wear them out in that, where they're sitting there for the whole 2 hours just trying to do that. because then they're not going to get a break like the rest of us did.
Okay. So, in essence, what you're maybe kind of sort of saying is that, okay, let me think for a minute. So, let me think just for a minute. Let me think through that. I'll be right back. Somebody pick it up. Let me think for a second.
For HKX. Hey, is you still there?
Marlin, I'm listening. Over.
What's the closest station to you? If there's anything I can do for you, just give me a call. I'll be glad to give you my number. You're 10 minutes away from me. If there's something I can do to help you.
Right now, I think we're pretty much in a good position. We've got lots of food, and we've got some church members who are 10 minutes away. Over.
I just want to make sure you know somebody's here. If you got help, that's good. If not, I'll be glad to help you any way I can.
Dad, I may, after a couple weeks, I'll get you to help me put up an antenna.
That too.
4NUE. Ed, give us a holler. We'll be, I can't speak for others, but I'll be glad to come help you. Okay, so, I'm sorry, y'all go ahead. Let me know when you're done.
Ed, I would just want to make sure Ed knew I was close, and I would be glad to help.
Phone number, over.
It is 606-773-0.
Okay. Mine is 884-7774. That's a landline. We have an answering machine on, and we monitor the calls. So let the message go and then start talking and give us time to pick up.
Can you give that number to me one more time? I wasn't ready.
Just 884-7774.
Okay, so it's the time that's throwing me, Ed. I have no problems moving traffic. Gary's worked with me for a while, moving traffic on the South Carolina single sideband. He's helped me a lot. It's not the information that's a problem moving. It is the time. In other words, time is not an issue for me. It is explaining it to a group of people to teach that and say, well, this is how this has to work. You have to be on this frequency at this time if you want to, you know, pass information. That's the first complexity. The second complexity is just exactly what just happened with Patrick. What was that number again? And what I'm saying is that you were in the Mars program. You know there are protocols to handle traffic to keep that from happening. And there is a set of rules that govern that. But governing that requires a little bit of a new language, which means that's going to have to be taught, you know, and just think through that a minute. You have different experience levels, operator levels that are inexperienced, and then you have some that just have a handy, and then some that might be a mic shy. You ain't got all that to work through. It's what I'm saying. It just gets complicated pretty quick. But I got it worked out in my mind. It's just getting everybody to pull together that it's always the struggle, you know. And I know firsthand how difficult that can be, and it's not out of not wanting, it's just, well, yeah, it's just the language. You know, there's a whole set of language that comes with handling traffic, and you know that, and just being able to teach that.
A bunch of slides, I'm still working on them. I think I could teach the basic traffic handling in probably 2 hours or under, and then it's a matter of practice, and we have a beautiful tool to use that, and that's the Zoom.
Rage kick. Can I make one more suggestion? And don't try to do it as a complete group. Work with your each. You got it divided out into four. Work with the smaller groups first. Get them handling traffic. And then bring in the larger group.
Good idea, again, with Zoom, because with four or five people, you can get an exchange, which would be difficult to do on the repeater, particularly since I can't talk to the repeater yet.
I got it in the main, too, KL4QOG.
Well, I guess we got step one. There you go.
That's doing it all on HF. And it's basically with Simplex. And what I was on every Saturday morning for a couple of hours, handling a little bit of it at a time. But there was a whole lot more in terms of than just a basic message handling.
Bring UE. To me, that sounds like a step one. And I don't know, Ed, what are you thinking? Radiogram, maybe? I mean, there's a pretty simple set of rules that dictate how that works and how to capture all that correctly. I know Mars does things a whole lot different, and there's just pages and pages and pages of language to use, but, you know, the radiograms, I don't know, maybe 10 words will do it.
Radiograms have a particular use, but I think for a message format to get all the information, and then a set format to use for sending messages. As far as long messages, the usual way I handled that was to just like when translating from one language to another, one sentence at a time with a break after each sentence, so anything that's missed can be repeated at that point in time.
Well, you're exactly right. So with radiogram, you got 25 words. That's it. That's all you got to work with. And I think there's a reason for that. Because, you know, throw that weak readable in the mix. And, you know, if you can't get your point across in 25 words, then, that can be done. But like I said, there's some language that comes with that.
For QOG, another question when you get done with this topic.
Was on ProWords, and that's a combination. Most of them are rather intuitive. Once you've heard it once or twice, then it's automatic as to what use. Most amateurs are already using ProWords. ProWords such as out, over, I'll say again, those things are used by just about everybody.
Exactly right. Let me make sure I got it. Learned last week. Did not know this. And I was in communications my whole career. Over, when you say over, that implies that you expect a response. So in other words, did you have a good day? Over. I'm expecting that you're telling that distant station, I need a response from you. Out is, I hope you had a good day today, out, which means the distant station remains silent. And I'm just saying, those things as a group, you know, would need to be, you know, kind of need to be discussed. Just to give some basic familiarity of, you know, of all that. Do you agree or disagree with that?